It's a translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The Lord as the Supersoul is situated in every living being's heart. Why then do the living entity's activities result in misfortune and misery? Purport. The next question put forward by Vidura to Maitreya is, why are the living entities subjected to so many miseries and misfortunes in spite of the Lord's presence in their hearts as the Supersoul? The body is considered a fruitful tree, and the living entity and the Lord as Supersoul are like two birds seated in that tree. The individual soul is eating the fruit of the tree, but the Supersoul, the Lord, is witnessing the activities of the other bird. A citizen of the state may be in miseries for want of sufficient supervision by the state authority. But how can it be possible that a citizen suffers from other citizens while the chief of the state of the state is personally present? From another point of view, it is understood that the jiva, living entity, is qualitatively one with the Lord, and thus his knowledge is in pure state of life, cannot be covered by nisyans, especially in the presence of the Supreme Lord. How then does the living entity become subjected to ignorance and covered by the influence of Maya? The Lord is the father and protector of every living entity, and he is known as the Bhuta Brit, or the maintainer of the living entities. Why then should the living entity be subjected to so many sufferings and misfortunes? It should not be so, but actually we see that it happens everywhere. The question is therefore put forward by Vidura for solution. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuronmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeyam Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrachatam Sagana Ragunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadhubhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Dalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Okay, Hare Krishna everyone. Thank you everyone for coming to this morning's Bhagavatam class, and I seek blessings of all the senior devotees and all of you here and online so that we can discuss something that is relevant and the right words come at the right moment and thereby cleansing my heart. So this is a really, really wonderful question that Vidura is asking. So we see that so far we heard that Vidura actually went to see Uddhava and wanted to know about the activities of the Supreme Lord. However, Uddhava, following etiquette and out of humility, didn't feel qualified to speak. So therefore, he asked him to go and speak to Maitreya Rishi. So in chapter 7, we've been hearing the questions that Vidura has been putting forward to Maitreya Rishi. And in text 5 yesterday, we heard about how a pure soul in pure consciousness, so how does he become engaged in Nisayans? So today's text mentions these two as well. But in today's text, actually, Vidura asks a really, really good question. The Lord as the super soul is situated in every living being's heart. So why then do the living entities' activities result in misfortune and misery? So in Bhagavad Gita 8.16, Krishna says to Arjuna, A Brahma Bhuvana Loka Punar Avritino Arjuna Mam Upetya Tu Konteya Punar Janmana Vidyate. The nature of the material existence in the, you know, is suffering is inevitable. We can't, you know, whoever we are, wherever we are, we can't escape that, because whether it's the highest planet or the lowest planet in the material world, it's all temporary. So it is dukkhalayam ashvashtitam. There is no escaping. So in the purport, we see that Srila Prabhupada actually makes three main points. So the first point that he makes is that it says here that the Lord as the super soul is situated in every being's heart. So, you know, we can perceive the Lord in three ways: as Bhagavan, so, you know, full of all six opulences in full. Then there is Brahman, the effulgence of the Lord. And then there's Paramatma, who is in everyone's heart. So, you know, we won't go into that because we don't really have time. But as Paramatma, he is in every living entity's heart. So, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hidayase Arjuna Tishtati. So, the Supreme Being is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna. This is what Krishna is saying to Arjuna. Now, isn't it amazing that, you know, the Supreme Personality is actually in every living being's, and you know, heart. And we can understand that, yes, in every human being's heart and all the animals. But when you look at like tiny, tiny insects, and, you know, my mind just like boggles that, how is Krishna in that little tiny, you know, being's heart? You know, in the Bhagavad Gita, it gives a description that, you know, like, you know, the top bit of your thumb, you know, he's that big. And I wonder, you know, those tiny little insects, how big their thumb might be and how little, you know, the Paramatma might be. So it's just really inconceivable for us to even understand about this. And here, Srila Prabhupada uses the example to help us understand the relationship between the soul and the super soul, that's Paramatma, by the two birds on a branch. This is one of my favorite examples. When I used to teach children, you know, we would talk about how the two birds are best of friends. And, you know, one of the friends has turned away, turned their face away. So the soul has actually turned away from the Paramatma, and the Paramatma is just waiting and waiting, you know, like how we wait for our friends. Paramatma is just waiting for us to turn back. And you know, like the children actually used to write wonderful poems about friendship. You know, the Paramatma is actually our oldest friends. In this world, we make friends. You know, friendships come and go, but actually the Paramatma is our oldest friend. You know, we've known him eternally. So, you know, he's been there. And he's our well-wisher eternally as well. So, you know, he's just sitting there witnessing. So, you know, we think that we've come here, we are enjoying, but he's just witnessing whatever we are doing. And I used to say to the children that, you know, when you think there's nobody in the class and, you know, you want to do something naughty, be aware there is somebody who's watching you. And they used to be like, oh my God, you know, somebody's still watching us. So, you know, he's just watching us. So, you know, Vidura's question is that if he's our best friend, how is it possible in his presence we are all suffering? You know, Srila Prabhupada, he was traveling from, I think, California to Berkeley. And the pilot actually asked Srila Prabhupada that if God exists, then, you know, why is everyone suffering? Why is there suffering in this world? And Srila Prabhupada gave the analogy of the sun. So, you know, if we are facing the sun, so the sun doesn't have any shadows and it's just emanating light. If we are facing the sun, we will not be able to see our shadow. But as soon as we turn around and the sun is behind us, then you will be able to see the shadow. So, you know, we have actually turned away from Krishna. So, and the second point that Srila Prabhupada makes here is that the jiva is qualitatively one with the Lord, and so is the part and parcel of the Lord. So, you know, we have the same qualities, but not in quantity. So, for example, if God is the gold mine, then we are a bar of gold. So the gold is gold, but in quantity, there is less. So then if we are pure souls, then how as pure souls have we come under nisyans? So, you know, if God is pure and we are pure, then how have we come under this illusion? Yesterday, Taruna Krishna Prabhu explained very nicely about this. So we won't really go into this much, but so, you know, once upon a time, we were all in spiritual world, living with Krishna, living with the Lord. But just for one split second, you know, we had this idea that we want to enjoy separately. And in that split second, Krishna is so kind that he's given us this facility. So he has said, fine, if you want to enjoy, I'll give you a wonderful, beautiful world. When we look at the world, in some ways, it's beautiful, isn't it? When you look at the nature, the mountains, the flowers, it's a wonderful, beautiful place that he's given us. And he said, fine, you go and enjoy. You know, you want to be the boss, then go for it. But, you know, when we've come here, we've all come under the influence of the modes of material nature and under Maya's influence. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, mameivamso jiva loka jiva bhuta sanatana. So we see that the living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. But due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. So in that purport, Srila Prabhupada actually says, not in that purport, but in 6.32, the cause of distress of a living entity is forgetfulness of his relationship with God. And the cause of happiness is knowing Krishna to be the supreme enjoyer of all activities of the human being, the proprietor of all the lands and planets, and the sincerest friend of all living entities. And a perfect yogi actually knows this, that this is, due to being conditioned by the material nature, and then they are subjected to threefold material miseries due to this forgetfulness of his relationship. And in this world, we see that, yes, it's a beautiful world, but it's also full of miseries. Do you agree? No. Any problems? No. No problems? Okay. Anyone else who has no problems? We all have problems in this world. Dukkhalayam. This means the place of miseries. So we've come here to this place of miseries. Can we name some of the miseries that we encounter in this material world? Okay, birth. Getting ill, disease, yes. Anything else?
Death.
Thank you. Sorry? Getting old. Getting old, yes. I'm experiencing that. Anything else?
Natural disasters.
Natural disasters, yes. So we have the four problems: birth, death, old age, and disease. And then we have the three miseries, which is natural disasters. Anything else? What do we suffer?
Mind.
Fear. Yes, we are fearful. And why are we fearful? Do we fear because we are in separation, or we are fearful because we are attached? You know, we are always fearful, isn't it? This is mine. What if it gets taken away? And that's why we are fearful, because we feel that everything belongs to me. It's for my pleasure. If it gets taken away, then, you know, I'm fearful all the time. What if this happens? What if I die? What if somebody close to me dies? So we are always in that fearful state of mind. But so, you know, we have Adhyatmika, Adhidevika, and Adhibhautika. So suffering caused by our own bodies and minds, suffering caused by other living entities, and suffering caused by, as Prabhuji said, natural disasters. And, you know, we can't avoid these. These are there. So we can't avoid these miseries. And, you know, in the world, we see so many issues and miseries. You know, we had the COVID, you know, COVID was there. We've now just found out, you know, okay, let's deal with COVID, then something else will come up. You know, there's always something, there's a war, you know, there's imminent wars in the world. So, you know, these things are like a forest fire. You don't really know when the next fire will start. So then how is it that we are affected by all these miseries? So the world is can be compared to Kshetra, and similarly the body can also be compared to the Kshetra. Kshetra means a field. So if you plant a seed in the Kshetra, in the field, if you plant a fruit seed, a fruit will grow. If you plant a flower will grow. Sometimes also weeds can grow and cactus can grow. So all of these can actually grow. So, you know, your body is a field which produces whichever seed you sow. So if you sow pious seeds, then pious things will grow. Impious, then impious results will come. But we are continually planting. We are sowing, you know, continually we are doing this. And over time, they mature. So, you know, like some plants will grow very quickly. You know, you water it every day, it grows very quickly. And some plants take a long time, like the bamboo. You know, the bamboo, it takes a long, long time to grow. I think probably a year or even more. And you water and you think, well, nothing's happening. But then suddenly it starts growing. So like that, whatever you're sowing, some might take long time to sow. And also, just like you've got your farm or you've got your garden or you've got your plot where you're sowing these plants, our kshetra is also limited. So, you know, there is a boundary. You know, we don't go and start planting in our neighbor's garden. We only plant in our own garden. So there is a boundary. So, you know, the jiva can't go beyond that. So, you know, we get suffering accordingly. According to what we have planted, we get that suffering. And then there are the three doers. Anyone know who the doers are? The three doers. Sorry. material nature, yes, the super soul and the soul, we are the doer as well. So we as a soul, we have so many desires. We've come to this material world, you know, our senses are used to enjoy. We have so many desires. And so, you know, we put forward our desire and the super soul then sanctions whether we deserve or we don't. And then the material energy facilitates. And, you know, so we have been given this body according to our past desires. So in our past lives, we must have desired something, and then accordingly, we've been given this body. And then we are trying to enjoy, you know, and fulfill our desires. So, you know, we might be qualitatively same, but the difference is that we have come under illusion. You know, so that we think that we are the body, not the soul. So that is our illusion. And with that body, we are trying to enjoy. And then the third point that Srila Prabhupada makes is that the Lord is the father, the protector, the maintainer of every living entity. So how is it that in his presence, we are suffering? You know, the living entity, you know, is suffering. How can that be? So, you know, it's because we've come under this influence of Maya and we are identifying with body. So what is actually misfortune or misery? So it is something because we want to enjoy with our senses, and then anything that checks that we feel is misery, because that makes us unhappy. So, you know, if we got our way and we just enjoy, then we are all happy, isn't it? But as soon as there is a problem, there's a suffering that comes, that means that I can't enjoy now. So then we feel unhappy. So that is what actually misery is to us. And, you know, in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 3, Text 5, there is a translation. I'll just read the translation. The individual living being, the master of the material body, uses his material senses, which have been activated by the supersoul, to try to enjoy sense objects composed of the three modes of nature. Thus, he misidentifies the created material body, the unborn eternal self, and becomes entangled in illusory energy of the Lord. And, you know, that's where all these problems start, because we are in this illusion that we are the body. Srila Prabhupada used to give a very nice example. You know, in our dream, we might see that a tiger is attacking us. But when we wake up, we see there's no tiger there, you know. It disappears. So in a similar way, when we take up to devotional service, up to bhakti, then our suffering disappears, right? So we are all chanting, reading, so we don't feel miseries, do we? We don't have any problems in our lives. Chant and be happy, right? No? No? So, well, I still have problems, I don't know about you, but they still come in a devotee's life as well. It's not that misery and misfortune is going to stop, but these two do come. And, you know, so when these miseries still come, we can't escape, but somebody who's practicing bhakti yoga will see and cope with these miseries in a very different way. So devotees can think that, you know, this is Krishna who's teaching me a lesson, you know. You know, when we move forward in our spiritual journey, our anarthas are coming up. So Krishna, Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda ki jay, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki jay, Gaur Nitai ki jay, Srila Prabhupada ki jay. So, you know, the anarthas come up, and actually Krishna is helping us to cleanse ourselves from inside so we can move forward in a faster way. So, you know, we can see it as that. Or we can see it as an opportunity to get closer to God. So we have so many examples in the Srimad Bhagavatam where devotees actually take shelter of Krishna when miseries come. And a wonderful example is Queen Kunti and the Pandavas. So many miseries came to them. They were put under so much difficulty. And yet, they just took shelter of Krishna. And, that made them come closer. Now, Queen Kunti is a pure devotee. So she didn't need to suffer. So why did she suffer? And the Pandavas, they are associates of Krishna. So why were they suffering? Any ideas? Why did they have to suffer? They are already pure. So why were they suffering?
One way of looking at it is that because this relationship between Krishna and his pure devotees, we don't fully understand. I don't, anyway. But perhaps it's to show his power of deliverance. So he can deliver his devotees and say, just when you think you'll snuff out their lives or they're perishing, I will save them. And thus, this Krishna's faithfulness.
Okay.
Maybe.
Yes, so we can see that in Prahlad Maharaj's life. So I was going to give his example that he went through so many miseries. His father tried to kill him in so many ways. But Prahlad Maharaj took shelter of Krishna and had full faith in Krishna. And then Krishna came to save him, right? So is that what...
Yeah, and Krishna also declare it boldly that my devotees should
never perish.
Cannot be vanquished.
Mm.
Perish.
Thank you.
So,
yeah. Mm. Govinda Prabhu.
Maybe you have a better time.
There's a couple of answers, but one is like Queen Kunti prays, may the calamities come upon us because then we will see you. So, if one is not 100% pure, then the calamities can be used as a means to remain Krishna conscious. So they pray for this, let the calamities happen so that I may see you again, Krishna.
Yes, wonderful. Jagat Priya Mataji, you had something.
Yeah, another light might be also... because Krishna likes to glorify his devotees and bring out and about the devotees' wonderful qualities.
Excellent.
From which we can learn then how to actually progress in devotional service. So they're undergoing lots of difficulties, and these difficulties show how glorious they actually are and how they deal with them.
Yes, wonderful. Thank you. Yes, Prabhuji.
As Govinda Prabhu reflected, well, one is obviously... so that, it's during misery that you actually remember God. Generally, people don't tend to remember God, when they're having a good time. So that's one. And secondly, I also believe by reducing your attachment, you become more stronger in your faith because then you have less obstacles. And just to give that context, even with, especially the context of the Mahabharata and the Pandavas, they also say that, misery ultimately for them is they have the opportunity to associate with Krishna because even amidst all this misery, they still had the association of Krishna. But when Krishna departed from this material world, that's when they actually felt even more pain. Although from a material perspective, their life was all right. So that just brings into context what misery is actually in the first place.
Please. Thank you. Thank you for wonderful answers. And yes, so all of those, and Krishna is teaching us through these devotees, glorifying those devotees. So in Canto 1.8.25, Queen Kunti does say that, I wish that all those calamities would happen again and again so that we could see you again and again. For seeing you means that we will no longer see repeated births and deaths. So, you know, Queen Kunti is actually asking for more suffering. You know, why would you do that? But she's asking so that, you know, they would see Krishna, take shelter of Krishna again and again. And it's also to give us hope that, you know, there is something there. If you take shelter of Krishna, he will, you know, save you. So it's giving us hope as well. And, you know, Queen Kunti says that these miseries are giving us the opportunity. So we need to change our perception and our consciousness. You know, we're in Krishna consciousness. So, you know, what is consciousness? How are we changing our consciousness? So we need to have this perception that in every situation, it is the hand of Krishna. Without him, a blade of grass doesn't move. So, you know, Krishna is actually arranging all this, but he's arranging it to help us, you know, progress and come closer to him. And, you know, if we take an example of a fireman, yeah, you know, they go into houses or buildings that are burning, right? So why would you actually go? We run away, you know, if there's a fire somewhere, we actually run away, but they actually go in. But they go in to deal with it because they are able to. So, you know, they've had training, they've got protective wear, you know, they are trained to deal with the fire. So then, you know, they go. They don't avoid going into a house full of fire. And they put on their safety suit and, you know, they go and put the fire out. In that way, if we change our consciousness, our faith develops, then again, you know, that is our fire suit, isn't it? That we are becoming stronger so that, you know, this misery world of misery is like a fire, dukkhalayam ashvastham. And, you know, so we need that protective gear to be living in this material world, you know, and then make our way out. You know, a fireman, he goes in, he puts out the fire, and then he leaves that house. He doesn't stay in there. So like that, we need to put out the fire, and then we also need to leave this world. And Krishna is giving us all these equipment, you know, to help us cross over this ocean of material death and suffering and all the other sufferings that we have. So, you know, bhakti is just giving us that strength and an opportunity to get closer and closer to Krishna. And, you know, Bhagavad Gita, it says, matraspasha tu konteya sitoshna sukha dukhasda. You know, the translation says that, O son of Kunti, the non-permanent appearance and of happiness and distress and their disappearances due course are like appearance and disappearance of winter and summer seasons. They arise from sense perception, O scion of Bharata, and one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. So, you know, all these things will come. We just need to tolerate and keep moving forward in our bhakti. I heard a little short story. Keshav Maharaj was giving a class and he said that there was a king and he said to, you know, the people that, I will give the best reward to somebody who can solve my problem. How can I be sad when I'm happy, and how can I be happy when I'm sad? If anyone solves these problems, you'll get the biggest reward. So then people were thinking, well, how can you be sad and be happy? And if you're happy, how can you be sad at the same time? So then somebody came and he brought him a box. And so the king said, well, what's inside the box? And he said, well, open it and see. And inside there was a ring. And on the ring, it said, I can't remember the exact words, but it said that these two will pass or something like that. So, you know, that is the answer, that when we are really happy, we should also know that something else is coming, like it says here, you know, like the weather, it changes. And if we are sad, then we should take consolation that, okay, happiness is on its way. So, you know, we need to be equipoised like that. But, you know, to do all this, we must be spiritually charged to be able to tolerate. And, you know, on Monday, Srila Prabhupada in the class was talking about the snake. And he was saying that the snake is really poisonous. But if you take out his poison teeth, then the snake is not harmful at all. Similarly, we devotees are not scared of our senses. But, you know, they can be difficult to control. But they can be controlled if the poison teeth have been taken out. So, you know, he gave the example of Haridas Thakur, who through his chanting was so equipped that no matter what came his way, he was totally equipoised, you know. He didn't care about external miseries. So, you know, we also need to be so spiritually charged that we can do this. And, you know, Srila Prabhupada said, chant and be happy. So, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we will end here and I will open up for any reflections, corrections. Yes, Prayojan Prabhu. Thank you.
It's nice that you mentioned Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because in his poems of Sharanagati, he says, I've become supremely happy, no longer knowing that I don't belong to myself.
Mm.
He belongs to Krishna. So he's seeing himself as really, that's his real position. We belong to Krishna in love.
Thank you. Thank you, that's really wonderful. Anyone else? Okay, so we'll end here. Thank you very much for putting up with me. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande Hari. Thank you.